As we looked at this series, we started kind of thinking we're going to do a series on intercession. As we looked at it further, we thought, yeah, that would be really good. There's lots of amazing things we could tie a series into in the area of prayer. It's a pretty broad subject. It could be in confession and silence and listening and in fasting and praying and intercession. It could be how do you do a group prayer. It could be techniques. But we decided we'd go with really broad understanding, because really what we find is that the very essential part of participating with God in prayer means that it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. It's a place that it's a connection to our Heavenly Father where we can open our whole selves up to Him and experience Him in that relationship. And as we've been talking about a lot, which I think is a great phrase, is prayer is the language of relationship with God, right? And so understanding that it's basic, it doesn't matter. You can be confessing your sins or whatever. You can be interceding. You can just be talking in the car. You can be giving thanks to God. Any kind of prayer, you will find the things we've talked about in the series will apply, because it's talking about the attitude of our heart, that we come to God in a place of first honesty, that we don't hide who we are. And then we also come in a place of humility, knowing He's above us and His will is actually better. And then we wrestle in this place to trust Him and respond to Him. And in that, God transforms us, and He transforms us, others, out through our prayers. So looking at that is, you know, as I've thought about that, that's really what we're looking to do, because prayer is a place in which that, you know, we in our church, you know, we try to set environments, right? But what we want is, today we're going to talk about consistent engagement in prayer, all right? And because really that consistent engagement does things that nothing else can do. And I don't know if you're like me, is prayer, I have times I'm really going at it. And there's these seasons where I like, whoa, what happened here? You guys know that one? The idea of how do we become consistent in this communicating with God is heart-to-heart communication. Because, you know, as our church, we can do lots of things. There's so much involved in church, like how many chairs we have. Do we have enough iced coffee, which is a really high priority? And, you know, how do we structure things and how we do those things, which is important, you know, right? And we even, you know, we have to try to seek God on what temperature this room should be, which we've never been able to discern that very correctly. So I just go with what I like. But everything we do, we have structures, right? That's fine. Quite honestly, if prayer isn't at the source of everything we choose, if it's not the beginning place that we start to, that we go to and go back to, our church will not do what God has for it. And if we want to see our church go to places where God wants us to go, it's going to be because we become greater place of actually consistently engaging in this thing of prayer. All right? You know, for me, you just think about that. We are the body of Christ, and He's the head, and prayer is how we hear what we're supposed to do. It's how we perceive things. I think oftentimes, you know, it's really, life is not just doing, it's we do because of what we see. You know what I mean by that? However we see things causes us to act the way we do. And so seeing clearly is what prayer does, because we can't see clearly until we engage in this relational connection to God. We have a distorted view. You know, when we first were planting the church, and I was still working a full-time job, I got a call, and my dad had cancer previously, but he's in remission, but they found out it had come back. And so I remember getting the call at work, and they said, well, how does this mean? They said, well, it's pretty bad. He may not live out the week. And I thought, So I zoomed over to Topeka, Kansas, went in and hung out with them for those days, and he died 7 days later. And being in the room with him, it was strange, because it was a sad time, and I'm not sure everybody else experienced it, but for me, it was strangely rich. I've never experienced anything quite like it. And my dad was a believer. He knew Jesus. He had a huge impact on different people's lives, and the place was filled with people coming in and out. And quite honestly, I could tangibly sense God so strongly in the situation. And even though it was so hard, the best way to describe it, during that time, I could see clearly. I feel like I could see things I couldn't see before. You could have asked me before, you know, what's important, and I probably have said the right answer, but I came to know it. What I saw very vividly, it kind of rattled me, what really was important and what didn't matter that much. And it was shocking how much energy I was putting into things that really didn't matter much. What I could see, which I would have said, but what I could see was all that matters is loving God and loving people. I mean it. And I remember when I saw that, I just thought. And I remember being in the room feeling this, and I didn't want to forget it. And I felt like God said, don't forget it. You're in reality right now. And I thought, this is reality? And yeah, I was in reality. And most of what I find is that the most important things of your life, the things that are actually will hold up, that are way above everything else, are the very hardest things to prioritize. I just learned that's just the truth. They're the things that slip down your list. I don't know about you, but I have plenty to do. I'm always fascinated if I ever talk to someone, they go, I'm kind of bored. I don't know what to do. I think, oh my gosh, I have a list for you. Can you help me out? You know. So I think most of us, some of us maybe, I want your prayer from you if you're that person, but most of us are at the spot we have lots to do, and it seems to go faster the older we get, and there's just so much to do, right? And it's just like there's one urgent thing after the other. And we find ourselves in the place of having all these urgent things causing, you know, us to be driven. And we end up prioritizing things that really don't matter. I've been with people as a pastor over the years, you know, which are at the end of their life. And I can't tell you how many times they regret doing the urgent things, because it caused them to miss the important things. There's a book out called The Freedom from the Tyranny of the Urgent. And the way it sells itself, it's just what it says. It says, does the quality of your responsibilities squeeze out the quality of your life? Are urgent things so pressing that you don't have inner time to sort out what is really important? Now, that book's for me, right? These places of urgency, and this tyranny of the urgent. Tyranny is this place of a cruel, oppressive rule. That's what tyranny is. And what it means is that we have these things that rule us, and they could even be really good things, important things, but they become the place that they always become our priority, and somehow the things that really count somehow keep getting put off. I find this is a battle for everybody. And so when Jesus came on, he said, onto the earth, he says, I've come that you might have life to the full in John 10:10. But we also have to remember how it starts. The enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to try to steal that. And this is the battle. There's the most priority, the things that make a difference that we want to devote ourselves to, but we find ourselves not being able to see clearly because the urgent things start pressing in and ruling us. There's a great saying, is the devil can't, if the devil can't convince you to sin, he'll just keep you busy. It's a great strategy. I have a to-do list on my iPhone, and there's 27 things I need to do this week. So just out of sheer, I just looked at them, and I said, out of the 27 things, which of the things will I regret not doing? Two. The other 20, 25, it's like, whatever, right? But guess what I put my time into? Getting those 25 knocked off so I can get to the important things. Oftentimes. This has a tendency of this place of what's really important. They have a tendency in getting pushed out by the urgent. Now, the thing about this is that, you know, how many of you guys have had moments where like, don't raise your hand. I just know many of you have. There's moments where you actually see clearly, right? God's presence and power is there, right? You maybe read a scripture and everything comes alive, or someone prays for you, or maybe it's a time when you first came to Jesus and everything kind of lit up and you understood things. It'd be maybe a time during worship or a time just going along, God's come and healed you or whatever. And at those moments, you feel God's presence breaking in, right? And right then, you look around, and guess what? You see clearly. You see what's really important. We were talking about this in one of our classes about the whole thing of God's presence is here, but sometimes it breaks in, that place of the kingdom of God coming and breaking in. We said, how do you know when that's happening? And someone in the class, could have been one of you, so you're geniuses if it was you, it was a great comment. said this. He said, here's how I know. They said, when I experience God's breaking into my life, what happens is I'm very grateful, and I love everybody, and I love God, and it's easy. The person that just an hour before I didn't pay attention to or I didn't even like, now I love them, right? What's happening there? Are they delusional? No, they're coming into reality. That actually is reality. And sometimes we think, okay, I'm back out of reality. No, 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 no. That was reality. But the enemy is trying to steal that from us. And prayer is a spot that takes us into that. Now, prayer is how we see life more and more clearly. See, our perspective always gets distorted. Our priorities always move around. But prayer is what takes us back to those places. You know, I've had these times, just like you, but here's what's really weird. Think about those times that you've had that real clarity, right? Those times that God's come and broke in, you see clearly. Maybe you're in that time right now. Here's what shocks me. I've had that happen, and that same day, or that next day, or that next week, I'm griping because the internet's too slow, and mad that I can't get to my movie on time. Like, what is this? Where did I go? Where I can't see clearly anymore, right? You know how fast that can happen? You think, am I crazy? Was that real or not? No, it was real. But you have someone who wants to steal that from you. And we're up against that all the time. You know, now, how do you get to a spot of doing this? How does prayer become that? And I've heard teachers, I've had Christians who kind of give this impression that they've arrived at this. Like, I'm there now. I'm seeing clearly. I always see clearly. A little bit of haze, but they act like there's a line you cross, and you just see clearly of the kingdom. I can see clearly now. And I'm not saying there's not growth and it increases, but that line is when you die. that line is when you experience God fully and the kingdom is fully consummated. Until then, you're going to find yourself in this battle where you're finding yourself wanting to engage into prayer, but oftentimes you're going to find yourself having a battle against that. And you'll have times you see clearly, but God is wanting us to see clear and clear and clear. And one of the main ways we do that is just by simply engaging consistently in prayer. I've learned unless I devote myself to what Scripture says to devote myself to, I don't see transformation. It's as simple as that. But when I devote myself to the things that Scripture tells me to devote myself to, I see transformation. It's just, I know that sounds so simple. And one of the things that the Scripture says very clearly to devote yourself to is prayer. If you want transformation, if you want your life to get to the spot you start seeing clearer and clearer, it's about prayer. I mean, prayer is this place where you start in a place where when you have prayer, your eyes start changing. You start seeing as you engage in a real and honest way with God, things start happening. And you begin seeing yourself different. You begin seeing God different. And you begin seeing others different. And you see circumstances differently. But you can't get there without this engagement with God. And so as we look at that, is devotion to prayer, it means that we make it a priority every day. Now, here's the wild thing about that. We all know that, right? I should know that. I've been doing this for 47 years. Okay, so here I am, 47 years into this, and I'm doing a series on prayer, right? So I'm very alert that I need to be praying more than ever. So every morning, while I was preparing a few weeks back for this thing on prayer, I remember I went outside, and it was just a beautiful morning. I had time. I had a cup of coffee, and that's always important. And you're sitting there, and I just started talking to God, telling him how much I loved him, being thankful for him. And I'm not sure what happened. But honestly, all of a sudden I realized I'm emailing people and thinking about, you know, this interaction that I had in a movie. And I thought, how did this happen? I really tried, right? I thought, I can't believe how easily I'm distracted. What I find from Christians is like, they think they're the exception. Like, I know everybody else prays good, but man, I get so distracted. Welcome to the club, right? And here's what's really encouraging about this. I still keep engaging, but I understand that it's so easy, because this is so important, to get distracted. And what's really helpful is when you realize that Jesus, who had it pretty together, who was perfect, who was the Son of God, had to find lonely places. Isn't that interesting? Why did he need that? Because he could be easily distracted. He didn't even let his friends know where he's going. He hid out from his disciples. He ran away from him. He had these certain places no one could get to him. That's Jesus. You know? I mean, here's the thing about Jesus. He's in the middle of ministry, and people are demonized, and they're crying out for his power. And he sneaks out on them. He does. And says, I go to be with my Father. And then go back. He was not controlled by the tyranny of the urgent. He knew that the only way he knew what to do was to get with his Father, and that had to prioritize above even really good things like ministry. It had to be the front of everything he did. It had to be the starting place of all he did. And so when you look at that, you think, that's why he said this to us. But Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know what? You know my favorite part of that verse is? Close the door. Like, he doesn't say, just go into your closet. It's like, by the way, that's not going to be enough. Because if you keep it cracked, even slightly, and not locked, something will come in and try to distract you. You guys realize that's true in prayer? I realize I have to leave my phone away from me. I mean, I turn it upside down. That's not enough. I turn it off. It's not enough. Somehow, I get pulled into that phone, right? I have to figure out ways, how do I find a place that I'm not distracted? And how do I shut the door? And how does that look, right? You know, as we look at that, I mean, but this whole thing of praying, we have to realize this is so front and center to how everything in the church is supposed to happen. I mean, if you just think about just the history of the church at the very beginning, before Pentecost, what were they doing? They were gathering and they were praying. When they had to decide who replaced Judas, what'd they do? They prayed and found out who should replace him. So I don't know what that was about. Was it a rat? You know, what's funny, this happened last. just as a comic relief. You don't know how hard. Preaching's hard enough, but when they have flip-flops slamming onto walls, it's like, come on now, help me have a break, you know? So, you know, what's funny is that wasp was here last week, and I thought Shauna slapped him, and I thought, I won't get into this. We'll pray for that later. And they were just trying to kill a wasp. All right. Are we back? So you think about that. It starts in a spot in which you start with prayer. And then the first thing you see in Acts, when it talks about the church, it says what they devote themselves to. To the teaching, to the fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and prayer. They just devote themselves all the time. In fact, we see later in Acts 3, they're going to the temple. They have a time that they go pray every day. And they're praying on the way, right? And then we see, after they get to the spot of when persecution starts happening, they start praying for the people who are having persecution, and then God does amazing things, and they begin worshiping God. And then you see in 29, they're a little nervous because now there's threats against the church. What do? They're in need, and they pray. They consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness, stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders and through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And we see it all the way through. It's like, this is the fuel of how God connects us to the head, shows us our part, shows us what to do, empowers us to do things we can't, right? Now, I thought it would be good, though, during this series, we've been talking in these principles of coming to God with honesty and humility and wrestling this place of going to trust and response, the simple things. But I thought it'd be good to get a little more practical. So I've asked three people to come up, and I'm going to just ask them what their journey was on prayer. So if Danielle and Doug, Danielle Strassner, Doug Dunlop, and Emily McCall, too many Emily's in our church, and too many Emily's. So I'm going to have these guys come up, and There you go. And I just want to ask them kind of their journey. I've asked them to kind of say, you know, you've been a Christian for a while. What's your journey been in prayer? And kind of explain that. So we have three mics that's supposed to work this time. All right. And I'll start with Danielle. So kind of tell me a little bit about just, you know, you've been a Christian for a while. I mean, since you're young, but you've had some time. What's that look like?
Okay, so for me, prayer, I was... Is it on? Yeah, it's on.
Okay.
Very young, how to pray for my grandparents, and the way they taught me to pray was with that, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep, prayer.
If I die.
What?
If I die.
If I die before I wake, yeah. I pray, pray the Lord my soul to take. And basically, you know, this exercise of reflecting on prayer that David asked us to do was really insightful for me. I'd never actually really thought about that journey of prayer before, and I really learned a lot, I think, about myself just looking back at it. But one of the things I learned was that all my early prayer years were heavily informed by that prayer, that basically unless I was praying to God, he might not keep me. I could possibly die in my sleep, and if I hadn't asked first, he might not take me to heaven. And that was kind of the way I lived with prayer, was basically you did it to cover all your bases. It's how you stayed safe. And then eventually I ended up turning away from God and not praying at all for a long time. And when I came back to him, all my prayers basically were some version of please help me, followed by sometimes thank you, but not always. It was mostly just please help me. And then I didn't really pray very often. And then after my first child was born, my daughter, I found myself praying a lot. Again, because she didn't sleep for about 6 months, and I was exhausted and overwhelmed. And so many feelings, and exhausted, and overwhelmed. And so I was going to prayer a lot. And again, they were mostly like, please and help me. But there was something different about it. And I actually had to go to God to ask him why. I was like, why was different? Because I was still mostly asking for help. And what I felt like he showed me was that the difference was as before, I was going to him more like I was going on a job interview. Which, you know, when you interview, you're trying to present your best self, you hide your faults, you know, you always try to twist things to the positive. And that was basically how I was approaching him. But after my daughter, because of that state of exhaustion, I didn't have the energy to keep up appearances. I basically just let everything out in his presence. And it became more of me just sharing my heart and not actually necessarily expecting answers or expecting response. It was just wanting to be heard. And in that space, I started to actually feel like this richness of connection with him, which actually felt more like relationship and got to experience his love in a way that I hadn't before. So that was basically my journey.
Okay. When David asked me about this, two things jumped out. One was... I became a Christian when I was 19, and my identity at that point was I loved rock and roll. I was like a walking encyclopedia for rock and roll. So when I was 19, I also bought my own car with my own money, and that was a big deal for me. And the first thing I did was I bought a really expensive, cool stereo system for this car. So it was going to be loud, and I was going to love it. And the first thing that happened was it broke. So for me to listen to my rock and roll radio, I had to hold a button in, a little rectangular button that left this indention in my finger. So I could only listen for so long, and I'd have to shake it off and hold it in. And God spoke to me at that point, and he said, why are you kicking against the goads? Why are you fighting me on this? And from that point on, my car became my sanctuary. And that became my my prayer closet, because God gave me a new identity. And he didn't want me to be defined by my old identity. So I can be driving on the highway with hundreds of cars around, and I'll be all alone with my Savior praying in tongues or praying the Lord's Prayer or just talking to the Holy Spirit. And that is one thing that jumps out as far as prayer goes, because that's my time with God. The other thing that jumps out is through the years, God has used prayer to bring about revelation. And when I say revelation, I define that by a life-changing nugget from the throne room to me personally. So I can define that also by saying, if you've ever read a verse in the Bible 100 times, and this one time God speaks to you through that verse, and all of a sudden it's life. Those revelations that get me from season to season, I would call stepping stones. So I'll be drowning in the ocean and just crying out to God, and He will give a revelation that I can stand on and I can write down, and it will get me to the next season.
Yeah.
So that those are really the two biggest things that jump out as far as my prayer journey.
Yeah.
Can I switch? Switch? Hello? Hi. Hello. It was really interesting exercise to kind of reflect back on, you know, my prayer life and how it evolved. I grew up Lutheran, so when I became a Christian, when I started following Jesus in my early 20s, I already had quite a bit of notions about, you know, what prayer was, although I kind of didn't realize I did. So when I first started out, I really felt like, well, you say your prayers at bedtime, so that's what I would do, and it felt like, kind of with my upbringing, well, I have to fold my hands to say prayers. So I would, like, lay in bed and make sure my hands are folded, or else it felt like it didn't count. And then I would lay there and say, like, my bedtime prayers. But I really didn't have, you know, I didn't really know what to pray or how to pray. So I think I sometimes would pray, now I lay me down to sleep, because I was like, well, that's what I know. I feel like I should be doing this. And so it's like I just started with what I knew, and then kind of bit by bit, God kind of would teach me things over time. And as I kind of thought through, what I realized, like, there's ways that kind of over time that I have tried to build my prayer life. And then kind of looking back, there's also this way that really God has been building my prayer life the whole time. And so the ways that I've tried to build my prayer life, they've all, like, been, I was kind of laughing at myself, like, looking back through them all, because they, like, all, like, totally fit my personality. Like, I love order, and I love routine, and I love systems. And so, you know, the little bits that I've gleaned from, you know, learning about prayer have all fell in line with that. And so, you know, like, really early on, I learned about the ACTS model of praying, and that, like, I, like, really grasped onto it. It's an acronym, ACTS. A for adoration, you start with adoration or praising God, and then C, confession, you confess your sins to God, and then T, thankfulness, you thank Him for what He's done, and then S, supplication, you you know, ask for what you want or you need. And so I followed that for a really long time, because again, it gave me a roadmap. It was something, a model, something I could kind of latch onto. It showed me how to pray, what to pray. But then it kind of became burdensome after a while, because I felt like, well, I always had to do A, C, and T before I could get to S. And if I, like, really had this thing that I, like, really wanted to ask God for, then I had to adore and confess and thank, and then finally, and so it just, it kind of became confining and just kind of petered out after that. But, you know, over time I have kind of engaged in different prayer models or prayer experiments. Like, one time I wrote down and, like, tracked all of my prayers. So I, like, wrote them down and I prayed them really faithfully and tracked which ones that God answered and which ones He didn't and what He said and, like, percentages. And it was not an Excel, but I kind of wish it had been. But it was, the thing is, like, it was, like, it was in line with my personality, but God, like, really showed up in that. And He, it he did a ton of stuff in my life in that season. And one time I dedicated myself to prayer for 30 days for my mom for some really specific things. And again, it was right in line with my personality, and God showed up. Like, God really did things in that. And then I gravitated toward this app David mentioned, PrayerMate. That's a way to, like, organize your prayers, organize and systematize them. So I, like, could, like, pray equally for things, like, in my life and in, like, a systematized way. Again, it, like, fits my personality. And again, God, like, really worked in, like, all of those ways that I was, like, trying to build prayer into my life. He, like, really honored each of those attempts. And I still use that PrayerMate app, by the way. It is really good. I recommend it, especially if you're like me and you love organization. But then as I reflected, I realized, oh, but then there's been this whole other way that really, like, unbeknownst to me, God was, like, truly building prayer deep down into me this whole time. It's, like, shocking. I know God could work without my help and without my knowledge of the thing, but he can, and he was. But it was, like, in this totally different way than I went about it, of course, because he's God and brilliant. And, you know, what he did was, you know, really early on in my Christian walk, he led me toward this practice of Sabbath keeping, where for most of my Christianity, off and on and in seasons, but I set aside one evening a week to just spend time resting and being with God. And kind of out of that, and then out of all the other things, like, I've encountered, you know, he's been building my trust in him and building this strong belief that he is good and that he is for me, and that the ways, like, after following nudge after nudge after nudge, that the ways that he has for me are better than the ways that I would choose for myself, and, like, embedding those things deeply in me. And out of those things is what really has come this really rich prayer life that really just looks more like a conversation, just a ongoing conversation. And there are times when, you know, I'm doing the dishes and I'm talking with God, and then there are other times where I'm really devoting myself to it and intentionally being alone, you know, closing the door and trying to keep the littles out and, you know, really talking to him. And it just looks like pouring things out to him, things I'm mad about, things I'm frustrated over, things that are kind of vexing me, or decisions I have to make. There's always decisions that I'm really horrible at, and just asking for guidance and asking for help. And in those times, it's like those are the times that, you know, he just responds in these really, like, gentle nudges, usually with his wisdom or comfort and truth, or, like, scripture pops into my mind, and it's what guides me. Yeah. It's what propels me along. It's what turns me when I need to be turned. He is what turns me when I need to be turned. And it's just this constant, continual dialogue with him that he really built in me. I had nothing to do with it.
So. Good. Thanks. Why don't you close up? Just, I know there's plenty that you may not know about prayer, but there's certain things you do know about prayer. So what would you say, I do know this about prayer, to encourage us in areas of someone who's wanting to go further in an area of praying?
So for me, it's that God knows you're human, and so you just need to know that you're human, which just means you can be exactly who you are when you come to God, that you can be yourself, that you can pray to him in all the ways that you are human, you know, like if you're going about your day, if you're working, if you're in the car, if you're an organizer, like all those things that are you, those are the things that you can bring to God. You can just be yourself.
I would say, it seems like to me the most impactful, powerful prayers that I've prayed over the years have been the ones, not the ones where I am talking, but where I am maybe repeating what I'm hearing. In other words, we know the Holy Spirit talks to us through a still small voice, and if we don't quiet ourselves down to hear that, then we're just babbling on in prayer. And the times that I've seen miracles and revelation have been the times where I go to God and I slow down enough
yeah.
to sense what he is saying, and I hear myself repeating what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I would say just to know that God hears every single one of your prayers. He hears the really organized ones. He hears the routine ones. He hears the Lord's Prayer. He hears when you're crying out to him. He hears every single one of your prayers, and each one of them affect him.
Yeah, I see. You guys did great. Let's give him a hand. You know, I think that this whole thing of in prayer, I feel like that that God is just doing a lot in the area of prayer in our church. I feel like as a church, we're kind of set up in a good spot. It's an area that, you know, one thing I'd say is when you look at Scripture, there's three things that if you devote yourself to as a follower of Jesus, you do well. And the three things are this place of the truth of Scripture, that the fellowship of believers, that we don't do it alone, that we keep our lives open, we continue to meet, even when you don't want to. You show up. You go to Scripture, right? And the third is you devote yourself to prayer. And so what I like to do is I just, you know, what we see in Scripture all the time is this whole thing. I'm not going to go over these for time, but we see this place of just deciding to devote yourself to prayer on all occasions. And what I'd just say is that you learn by doing, and don't beat yourself up in process. You know, the thing is, like Emily said, is he loves to hear anything you say from your heart. You know, you don't have to do it all right. But just by this very place of engaging with him, with this whole place of just being honest and being humble and looking to trust and express, in that process, things will begin changing and you'll begin relating in different ways. And so the whole thing on prayer is really a matter of choosing to say it's priority. You know, and understanding there's a reason it's so hard, because it's so good, right? And just allow God to develop this in you, but it means that you have to prioritize. It has to be getting above all the urgent things. You have to learn to say, this is more urgent than all the urgent things. This is what I have to put ahead of things, and I have to let other things go. And it's really encouraging to see that even Jesus himself had to do that, right? It was not natural. He had to get away from everybody because he saw that has to be the start of everything. And as a church, for God to take us where he wants us to go, which he has amazing things for us, you know, it's not going to be restructuring, and it's going to be for us engaging to greater degrees in all three of those areas. We're engaging in Scripture more. We're connecting to each other deeper, and we're praying consistently engaging. And so I encourage you, whatever the things you get stirred up during this series, is start putting into practice and follow up with the things that we've talked about in the apps as well. So here's your challenge. Memorize these two verses. And ask God to convince you that they are his instruction for you. I mean, you know that, right? You can say, oh, yeah, they're my... But say, God, I want to be convinced of what you say so plainly. I want to know that what you want me to do is devote myself to prayer. And what you want me to do is to have regular daily times where I get away with you and I understand it's a battle. I shut the door and I prioritize you over all the urgent things. You know, and God will honor you in that. So I just encourage you, memorize these scriptures. Just, you know, they're pretty simple. And just say, God, teach me how to live this out. Show me. You have to be the one that helps me do this, right? So the worship team, you can come on up. And these particular apps that we have that are, I'm not sure where they're at, but the next one, you have in your bulletin. Make sure you check those out for your this week and see if there's one that kind of helps you in that process. Maybe you're not an Emily in the way you do it, but I found out structures can get you started. You know, it's like even in a conversation, having structures of how you go about it starts you, and that creates the conversation. And so don't fight structures, but just don't let structures cut out the life of God. Make structures take you to places of greater dependencies, greater honesty, greater humility, greater gratefulness, greater trust. All right. Would you stand?